Welcome to the Bullet Daily News Sports Podcast. This is Josh Flickinger along with sports editor Jim Franz, and another eventful weekend coming up. And the first one, I think the one that's on everybody's mind, Friday night, I'll be covering it. You might be going over there to shoot it a little bit, and that is Hanenigo versus Auburn. You know, we were talking with Coach Zimmerman about this. You know, it's been since 1996 since Hanenigo has been able to get past that second round. That's 21 years, and, you know, to get past the second round, you need to either do one of two things, is spring an upset in the second round, or have a team that's good enough to host a couple of games, right. And that way you've got a very winnable second round matchup. This team did not profile before the start of the season as the Hanenigo team that was going to break through, but do you think they've got enough pieces to, you know, maybe not necessarily win a state title or anything, but to finally advance past that second round?
Yeah, I think they do. They have impressed me with their play on the offensive line and the defensive line.
Yep.
Dallas Washington is better than he was last year. He's a much more complete player, and they've got a quarterback who's suddenly really hot.
Yeah, no kidding.
I mean, guess I undersold him last week when I said he only could manage a game, and then he goes out and totally wins a game.
Six touchdowns. You know? I mean, that's unbelievable. And, you know, I wrote in my prediction column today that's online that you can find that this is just it's almost like an NFL team that's super good. You know, maybe like the Falcons that are really good at home. They're fast. You get them on the turf. But they become kind of a different team when you take them out of that element. And especially if there's rain tonight, with Hanenigo's big offensive line, I think this is a pretty good matchup for them.
Yeah, I'm sure Auburn would like to see a nice, dry field, and they're not going to get it. And it just kind of reminds me of way back when Turner was playing, and they played somebody in the playoffs. I think it was Westby, and Turner had a lot of speed, but they played on a terrible field, lousy field conditions, and it became kind of a, you know, one of those kind of games, and they end up losing. And, you know, that could happen to Auburn, really.
I mean,
Hanenigo could just kind of smash them in the mouth with the way they run the ball, and they're pretty efficient.
Yeah.
I think they probably are hoping for a little bit of a downpour, huh?
Yeah, I would think so.
But not lightning.
No.
Rain is okay, but no lightning.
Nobody wants a lightning delay. You know, and Auburn a little bit prone to turnovers here early in the season, while Hanenigo's done a very good job of keeping control of the ball. So that's always, in any football game, a key. But so that's the big one tonight. But some other kind of interesting matchups. You know, Turner's got a chance to separate themselves a little bit from the East Troys and the Evansvilles. If they can, you know, they're 5-2. You know, I think Evansville's going to beat Broadhead tonight. So if Turner loses to East Troy, then all of a sudden East Troy, Evansville, and Turner are all 5-3, and your chances to make, you know, to get that home playoff game.
Yeah, that's a big difference.
It's a huge difference, because Turner, very winnable game next week. By all rights, they should beat McFarland, especially since it's at home. So if you can get this one tonight, 7-2, especially with playing in a decent conference, I can't imagine that they wouldn't get at least one home game at 7-2. When you look at their losses being to a top seed in Division 5 and then a really good D3 team in Jefferson.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, they just need to get the momentum going again. They don't want to lose three games in a row here.
Yep. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and it was a tough loss last week. You know, they were in that game for a lot of it. The final score didn't necessarily indicate it, but they just made some key errors. And Jefferson's just, you know, they're big and strong, and they run that system, the double wing that you don't see anytime. And Turner did not do well defensively. And that's just a week after holding Clinton, granted, without their starting quarterback for a half, but holding Clinton to 7 points. So not really sure what we're going to see out of Turner, because East Troy is one of those crazy teams that, you know, they don't stop anybody, but they'll score 50.
Well, and you're going to have the weather factor again.
Exactly.
That's what, 50 in a downpour? Probably not.
Exactly. And that's what I wrote, too. I think I predicted Turner to win, but it's going to be one of those, maybe a 21-20 game in this kind of weather. And again, you know, who knows what happens with the turnovers. Turner with a sophomore quarterback, but Draving's been pretty good protecting the ball. Beloit Memorial, you know, this is one, you know, it's one of those deals where in a couple years, hopefully this team is set up to maybe pull upsets like this. And I know that they've, you know, they're harboring some outside playoff chances, you know, but it's kind of a wing and a prayer at this point. I do think they have a chance to win next week. But
you know, that's what I hear everyone saying. It's like they're almost forgetting that they got to play this game this week. It's like, well, you know, that last game, they really have a chance in, but they're playing Middleton this week yet, you know. And
you're right.
Shoot, you never know.
They
have played well against good teams.
They have.
In stretches, not
right.
Consistent four quarters. But who knows? You know, I'm not going to say that they're going to win that game by any stretch of imagination.
Right.
But I think they can play well enough to, you know, keep it a competitive game anyways.
Man, I guess I was 13 years old the last time Broadhead didn't make the playoffs. Bigfoot, not nearly as extended of a run, but still, I think 15 years, 2002 maybe. You know, and it doesn't necessarily, this isn't a death knell for the programs at all, because there are some talent coming up. But we've kind of seen this progression, you know, in the last 4 or 5 years, these teams kind of getting worse and kind of getting back towards the mean. For me, it just illustrates how amazing it is for two smaller schools like that to have that run, especially Broadhead, 26 years. I mean, it was a record for a reason.
You know, it's a record, but if you look at the coaching staffs, those coaching staffs are really good.
Yeah.
And lots of times when you see a big fall off, there's something to do with the coaching.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the head coach leaves and a bunch of assistant coaches leave. But if you have that continuity and you've got a great staff, the chances of you, you know, being lousy for a long stretch, they're not going to happen.
Yeah.
I see them, you know, getting right back up there again.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's really going to be fascinating to see what happens after this year, especially with Clinton, because I have a lot of faith in their coaching staff too. But there's going to be a talent drop-off. And I was just in Broadhead last night, and Broadhead beat Clinton eighth graders like 63-2 or something crazy like that. So Jeff Spivak is going to have, if he keeps that job, not suggesting he'll leave Clinton, but he is the AD. And initially, I haven't spoken to him about this in a long time, but initially when he took that AD job, he's like, well, you know, I'll do football for this year for sure. And then after that, you know, double responsibilities. He's got young kids. But I don't blame him for keeping coaching this group. I mean, this is an unbelievably talented group. But the question is, how long will he stick with doing both roles? And then, you know, how, if Clinton can, okay, this is a down year for us and we go 5-4, or, you know, even 4-5 if you miss the playoffs, as opposed to the down years being the, you know, 1-8s or the 0-9s, it's going to be a real test for them for sure.
Right. It's tough if you're a coach and you look ahead and you see several bad classes coming up. I mean, as I was always told, you know, you can kind of wing it with one bad class.
Yep.
But you don't want back-to-back-to-back-to-back classes. I mean, that just starts a downward cycle.
And Mother Nature did Clinton no favors. That sophomore class that they have, the Clinton boys, I should say, boys coaches in general, that sophomore class they have is like 62% female, just randomly. And so your pool.
You would have liked that, Jeff.
Yeah, exactly. I would have been an avid. Yeah, any help for my odds, I would have taken. So your pool, which is already small to begin with, is even smaller to work with. There are some standout athletes in that class, but just building depth when you've only got 100 boys.
Sometimes you got a great band that year and you
you
don't have a great football
team. That's true. Yep, that's kind of how it goes in a small school. So it'll be interesting to kind of follow the paths of all three of those programs. You know, turning to pro sports, you know, the Brewers are not in the playoffs, but we do have another local team that I suppose we should talk about. The Cubs have appears on paper to be a really difficult series coming up here. I mean, do you see them being able to kind of rally the troops after they had a good second half, but what do you think against the Nationals?
Am I supposed to be politically correct here?
I'm an avid anti-Cubs speaker outer.
Yeah, I have relations that are, you know, solid Cub fans, and oh my gosh, I can't even look at Facebook after a big Cub win.
Oh, it's terrible.
Man, I'm going to be a Nationals fan, I think. I mean, their pitching should be solid in the series. I don't know.
It should be. I'm a little nervous. They're saying Scherzer skipped his bullpen start, and he's so dominant that it's like, oh, man. So he's scheduled for game 3, but who knows?
Shoot, they're older, though. I mean, this is their window right here.
It is.
I just see them really pushing it because, and they know this is it. I mean, other than Harper, they got a bunch of old guys.
For sure. Yeah, there's no doubt. So Cubs will start tonight while we're at Hananiga avoiding raindrops. And then, you know, the Packers, they've got a big one on Sunday. You know, it's kind of fun that right now we're in this stretch where, besides last October's regular season game, it's the opposite of the mid-90s that we lived through where the Packers would go to Dallas every year and get their brains beat in. The Packers, hey, they've had the Cowboys number the last 4 or 5 years.
Oh.
And I kind of, you know, they're 2.5-point underdogs, but I'm kind of looking at the injury lists, and the Packers are getting healthier, and the Cowboys, you know, they're missing their linebacker. Their lineman tightened up yesterday. They don't know if he's going to go. Elliott hasn't been the same as he was last year. I'm kind of feeling okay about this game on Sunday.
I'm not. I'm watching this game with my father-in-law, and usually that's a bad omen. A
lot of expletives flying around.
Bad omen for both of us. And there's just a lot of reasons why, you know, the Cowboys really need this.
They do.
They need a win. They're at home.
Yeah.
You know,
That's the worst. Yeah, it was kind of a mixed blessing when the Rams went in there and beat them, because obviously it exposed some real vulnerabilities, particularly in that Dallas defense. But also, you're right, they've got a bye coming up next week. You know they don't want to go into a bye 2-3 with two home losses already in the NFC,
right,
which for tie-breaking purposes, who knows, they might even have a tiebreaker. You know, if Dallas does turn it around, they might even have a tiebreaker situation going on with Green Bay. So it's a bigger game for them. The Packers have two back-to-back on the road here. You know, are you okay? Would you take this right now if you came back after at Dallas and at Minnesota? If you split these and you come back with a record of 4-2, you're ready to face the Saints, then you go into your bye week.
So,
would you take it?
So they crush the Vikings and they lose the Cowboys.
Yeah,
I could live.
You would
with
live
that.
With that. Okay.
As long as Aaron Rodgers is still upright, I would definitely be okay.
Absolutely.
With that.
Well, and that's the thing. I mean, those. You know, McCarthy, I guess, just said, hey, tomorrow's going to be the big day for the offensive tackle. So there's still a lot of uncertainty there if they can go. But you do at least feel a little better after what they did Thursday night with, I mean, Lane Taylor, who hasn't played left tackle in his life, switches out there. Does that make you feel a little bit better if they do have to go without one of these guys at least?
You know, a little bit better, but you're still watching the game going, is he limping a little? Or, you know, because if someone gets hurt,
yes,
you're right back to where you were before.
Yep.
I mean, you're looking at guys that are really, really not that good.
Yep. Yeah. No.
Filling in.
No
so,
doubt.
So, you know, you always have that. And in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, oh, gosh, does Rodgers see that guy coming at him from the blind side? Because
right.
He does get hit a lot.
He does. He takes a lot of hits, for sure.
And this is the guy I thought was fragile early in his career. Now he's taking, like, hit after
I him. Know. He stays in there, man.
And he takes off and runs and gets first downs.
He does. That's the element. He can still do that.
He doesn't throw the ball away, like, quickly, like we've seen with older quarterbacks.
I'm already torn on Monday night because I think for the immediate future, the Packers could obviously benefit from a Vikings loss. And that's the other thing. They get the Vikings. Dalvin Cook is gone. Who knows what their quarterback situation is. And they're coming off a short week where, granted, it's a short trip, but they're on the road. So yeah. some scheduling advantages there for the Packers. But anyway, you know, I'd love to root for the Bears on Monday. I'd like to see them win ugly because I don't want to see Trubisky come in here and look like the second coming. That's not good for us either.
I don't care. I mean, as long as they beat the Vikings.
Yeah, okay. All right, so you're in there.
It's fine with me. I mean, obviously, you know, he can be lousy the next week.
Yeah, that's true.
If he wants to look like Joe Montana that night, no problem.
Well, I will be – Rob Lucas will be storming our doors on Tuesday morning, I'm afraid, and demanding a podcast. I think that's what he wrote in his column. If Trubisky is – yeah, absolutely. He'd be happy to call in sick for a half day at his job at Clinton High School, and we'll record one. So. All right, you got anything else for this weekend? Anything coming up? Boyd College?
Boyd College is up in St. Paul, playing McAllister College. And
pretty good, right?
Yeah. Yeah, McAllister's, they're pretty good. And they're a veteran team, and we're not a veteran team at all.
Yep.
You know, so we got to kind of live with that. But, hey, we got some games coming up that are winnable.
Some winnable ones,
you know,
for
Lawrence,
sure.
I think, is probably a winnable game, and that's at home, and that should be fun.
And there's big swimming invite tomorrow that I'll be going to. I think it starts around 11, so the Natatorium. If you've never been to the Natatorium, stop by. It's a jewel. That place is awesome.
Just kind of layer your, you know, what you wear because you...
It's hot in there, man.
Start taking... Yeah, it's like 90 in there.
It is 90 degrees in there. It is hot.
I love going there and then going to a football game right after.
Oh, yeah. You're going to get pneumonia every time.
Yep.
But anyway, all right, well, thanks for joining us, everybody. Enjoy your weekend, and we will be back certainly next week with a podcast, but be sure to check out all of our coverage. It'll be online, well, either early tomorrow morning, like midnight, or hopefully a little bit before. We'll get that Hanabiga game up before. No lightning delays. I remember, it was four years ago, the tournament.
I was on the phone with you like every 20 minutes.
1 a.m., I think that game got finished. And the Trojans had this miracle win to stop like a 3-year losing streak, and we got about 6 inches in because everyone was it was literally 1 a.m. when that thing got done. They had to shut down the PA system at Turner because the neighbors were complaining because it was in the middle of the night. Yeah. I mean, it was bizarre. So let's hope to avoid a repeat of that. So,
absolutely.
All right, we'll talk to you guys next week.